It is really, really good to be back here at the Old Pass in Dubuque, Iowa with Brother Mass's family. We went out for supper last night, and then he took us out to the chapel and got to see that. I am thrilled about that. And we've got a lot of homeless in our area, and I want to really try to start working with them a lot more than I have. And then we went out and visited a couple people downtown. And I don't see them this morning. I hope they come. But I'm really excited about what God is doing here. I'm glad to see you folks again. Glad to see some of the old faces, but that wouldn't be too polite, would it? But Luella, right? And she was talking about back in Waukon back in 93. And we celebrated 30 years as missionaries last July. We celebrated 40 years of marriage last June, and God has been real good. My wife had a birthday in September. I won't tell you how old, but I'm a lot older than she is. But I turned 65 last month, and it doesn't seem possible. I just can't believe it, but numbers don't lie. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We'll read a couple of verses, and first hour I'm going to share testimony, a lot of what God has done, and kind of get you caught up with where we're at now and what's going on now. And I am just so excited what God is doing in our lives right now. And we're going to talk a lot about that this morning, and I want to try to challenge you folks. I'm excited to see what God is doing here this morning. And what God is doing at the chapel, we're going to go in the afternoon to the chapel. And I'm excited about what God is doing here, what God wants to do in your life. And I can only say that you will be amazed what God could do in your life. Yeah. If you will just let Him. Just let God take over. And I'll be preaching about that many times in the next 2 hours. So just get ready, all right? And I'm getting ready too, amen? Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the good day that you've given us so far. And Father, by faith, Psalm 118:24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I'm going to rejoice in the day that you've made, in the day that you've given us. Father, I pray that you'll help all of us to rejoice and to be glad in what you're doing in our lives. And Father, I just pray that you'll bless the morning services here at Old Pass. Thank you so much for Brother Mast and his family and the good folks here that have helped us and supported us, Lord, these last 29 years. God, please work in our hearts today. Give us laborers for the field and give us fruit for our labor. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you and give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I appreciate the pastor again telling me that I need to write a book, because I've had a lot of people tell me I need to write a book, and I am trying to write a book. It's just, in my spare time, which I have none, okay? So God has been so amazing. From a high school dropout after ninth grade on drugs and rock and roll and alcohol and all that stuff. At 17, I joined the Navy, and when I was 21, I got invited to a Baptist church down in Jacksonville, Florida, heard the gospel, and got saved. It's His story. It's what God has done, amen? My wife got saved as a young girl in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Ended up going to a Baptist church there. And praise God, she didn't have all the baggage that I have. Amen. About the old life. But, God's given us 5 children and 21 grandchildren so far. So praise the Lord for that. But I ended up going to Bible college in 1980, and I ended up leaving in the middle of my third year because the Greek professor didn't really believe the King James Bible was the Word of God. And we had a teacher in the school that every class that he taught, the first 2 weeks was why the King James Bible is the Word of God and why we're Baptists and not Protestants. Think about that. Now, Brother Bruce Musselman didn't get married, passed away a couple years ago, but he was a walking, talking King James Bible and Baptist history teacher. That was his passion, and he had a lot of us young guys and girls in the different churches. He taught in our Bible Institute in Cleveland, where I finished up my schooling in 92, but he was such a blessing to us. And it was in 92 that I knew that God wanted me to be a missionary, and I prayed a lot, and I was praying about going to Russia for a long time. And when I was in my first semester at the Bible Institute in 1990, I had gotten such a blessing of being back in a good Bible-believing church. I was going to a church about an hour and 15 minutes away, and I come over every Monday night to Cleveland for 2 hours every Monday and every Tuesday night for Bible Institute. And during, middle of May, when the school semester ended, I was on having such a blessing and personal revival, and I prayed and I said, God, I would really like to keep this going. And the Lord gave me the idea to start writing out the New Testament by hand. And I actually wrote, I promised the Lord a chapter a day until I got in the Gospel of Luke. The first chapter has 80 verses. So I asked the Lord, can I please cut this one in half, and the Lord has a sense of humor. He said, yeah, okay. So anyhow, long story short, 9 months later, I had written out the whole New Testament by hand. And I was having such revival in my own personal life. At the same time, I was working construction, heating and air conditioning, with a Christian man and another friend from our church. And I was going to school every Monday and Tuesday night. I started work at 7 o'clock. We worked 6 days a week, minimum 10 hours a day. If we could go a couple hours over to finish the job so we could go to another job the next day, we would stay and finish it. So basically 60 hours a week working, a wife and 5 kids. I really didn't want to, and I kept my Bible reading up to, at that time, 20 chapters a day. But I didn't want to rob my kids the time when I came home from work. So I tried to spend as much time as I could with my family and all of that. A Monday and Tuesday, I'd leave for work at 6:30 and I'd get home at midnight every Monday and every Tuesday for the next 2 years. But I wrote out the whole New Testament in 9 months. And if you're looking for a really good Bible study, I highly recommend it. Also, Moses wrote about it in Deuteronomy 17. The duty of a king was to write out a copy of the law. He was to keep it in a book. He was to read it every day that God would prosper him and his children forever. Okay? Now, I know people say, well, that sounds like a great idea. I think it's more than a great idea. And people often tell me, well, Jim, that's Old Testament. I smile. Wow, thanks. I'd forgotten about that, I say, you do know that Revelation 1, 5, and 6, now unto him, unto Jesus, that has washed us in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God. New Testament. Kings. We are kings and priests unto God. I have written out the whole Bible in English before I ever went to Russia. You probably heard about it. It's called the King James Bible. What are you laughing at? You probably all got one in your lap, right? I love the King James Bible. When I went to Russia, I wrote out the New Testament three times in Russian. And so far in Hungary, Budapest Hungary, I've written out the New Testament 5 times. And I have a Hungarian New Testament here. So if you want to come up and see it afterwards, you can take a look at it and check it out. If I am anything today, and I'm not much, okay, but if I'm anything today, it's because of the Bible. I love God's Word. Okay? Hebrews 1:9 says, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore the Lord thy God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Have you ever noticed why there are some preachers that come to the church here and preach? And I include your pastor too, because he's one of the guys I'm talking about. Have you ever wondered why some of the pastors that come and preach seem to have more of the joy of the Lord in their lives? Above thy fellows. Does God have favorites? God loves obedience. God always blesses obedience. And I believe that if we will love what God hates, love what God loves, we will hate what God hates. God will anoint us with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, above those who do not. I believe God's doing amazing things here this morning. I'm glad to see you folks come. And I'm hoping to see a couple of late ones come in here a little bit later. Amen. But God, I'm a happy camper. And I'm a busy camper. And I'm praising God for all that He's doing in our lives. For the first 16 years, my wife and our family and I were missionaries to Russia. God, over by Alaska, the Far East. We lived there for 8 years. And then we moved down to central southern Russia in Krasnoyarsk for the last 3 years. And in fact, pray for our son James. He's in Russia right now with his family over in Magadan, over on the far east coast of Russia by Alaska. And God has blessed them. They are 8 time zones away from Moscow. So they're pretty far away from everything that's going on in Moscow and in Europe and Ukraine. And I'll talk a lot about that here in a little bit. But in 2007, we started having a lot of visa problems. And then Russia made a new law where you could only stay for 3 months. You had to go out for 3 months, and then you could come back for 3 months. And we kind of decided we're going to have to really pray about what to do for the future, because it's kind of hard flying in and out every 3 months and staying out for 3 months. So we came back to the States for a year furlough. And during that furlough, I met a retired pastor in Ohio that had a ministry in Ukraine over the summer. He was working with orphans, and his son was pastoring. And I told his son, I said, I'd really like to go and meet the folks that he's working with, just to make sure he's got some good people. Because I know there are a lot of people on the field that will work with anybody that gives them money. And I'm not kidding. And so I wanted to make sure that he had some good folks working with him, and he did. So I ended up staying with him for a couple weeks, and I went to Moldova, spent a couple weeks with Brother Paul Hamilton, who's from Ohio, and I've known him a long time. And then I went to Romania, spent a couple weeks with Paul Perucchi, who was in Romania. He's from Michigan. I've known him since the early 90s. And then I went to Hungary and met up with Brother Walter Stevens from our church in Cleveland. Brother Walter is a American gypsy. And he actually works with the gypsies there in Romania. It's a long story. It's a wonderful story. But he started a Bible Institute there to train the gypsies. And they have actually graduated a lot of men, and they've gone out with those men and helped them start churches. And those men are pastoring those churches. And I've been out teaching in the Bible Institute several times there while I lived in Hungary. But Walter and another man asked me to pray about taking over a church in Budapest, because the missionary pastor was on furlough for a year. He had just left, and he really wanted somebody to take over for the year. And so my wife and I came to Budapest in September 2008, and we started took over the ministry there. I kept in contact with the missionary pastor for several times, And then one time after a couple months, he said, we're not going to be able to come back to Hungary. Would you please take over the work? So we took over the work. I never realized that we would be in the same place for 14 years. It's the longest we've been anywhere the whole time we've been married. And we still live upstairs in the church building. And we, you know, it's already paid for. We don't pay rent. But we help fix it up a lot. And we also pay the utilities, which are getting a lot more expensive with everything that's going on in Europe right now. But anyhow, we started out, we probably had 40-some people in the service. Our first anniversary in November, we had like 44 people. But as I began teaching Baptist principles from the Trail of Blood, mainly tithing, the Baptist Union in Russia, Hungary, I mean, it's all over the world. It's almost like the Southern Baptists in the fact that they have a group of men over all the churches. They have a hierarchy. They have a group of leaders that basically control all of the churches underneath them. And the government pays the pastor. The government pays his health insurance. The government pays for their building and other stuff. So the people really don't have to tithe. And they don't. So what happens was when they learned about tithing, they really liked the idea that we are not controlled by the government. We don't take any money from the government. We're not controlled by the government. We're separate from the government. But the other side of that coin is, and they ask this question right away, who pays the bills? Well, come on, we do. We do, amen? Oh, I never thought about that. So now you want me to give 10% of my income to the church? Well, it's in the Bible. So we had a lot of people leave. And we have just a small group of people there. They've been faithful ever since we've been there. We had a Bible Institute for 9 years every Monday night before COVID. And the guy that's there with his family, he's actually preaches for me when we're gone, usually. And he's actually written out the New Testament twice. So, I mean, God's really working. He's a good student. But, you know, there are just some problems as far as him being the pastor, and that's all I'll say about that. We've never had an American come over and take over for us when we were back in the States, except this time. So much is happening now in Hungary, in Ukraine, in Russia, in Europe. We were praying. We have a group of, I'll just go ahead. I don't have any notes, so if I skip ahead, it's no problem because I don't have anything written down, okay? And I don't have a teleprompter anywhere, okay? But anyhow, we were praying. We have a group of 15 Ukrainian families that we have a Friday night Bible study in Hungary, about an hour away. And we drive there every Friday night. We were bringing groceries for a long time, but that just too much work for my wife and I to go shopping for 15 families, so we just decided to give them gift cards for the grocery stores, amen? And praying and trusting that they don't misuse that money, and they're not. They are very, very thankful for everything that we've been able to do for them. But we were really praying about having somebody come that spoke Russian, that could keep that ministry going. And my good friend Ron Jackson and his family, also from Cleveland now, they sent us a text message and said, I just read your prayer letter. My wife and I and our daughter are thinking we'd like to come to Hungary and take care of the ministry while you're gone. And I thought, wow, that would be awesome because he speaks Russian. They were missionaries in Ukraine for many years before Ron got cancer, and they had to leave and go back back to the United States. But during the last few years, God healed him, he got better, and he's been taking trips in and out periodically to help the military. mainly the military on the front lines. It's got a great ministry. To back up just a little bit, my wife and I have been praying for several years. Lord, how much longer do you want us to stay in Hungary? The two biggest churches in Hungary, and I would say the two biggest problems in Hungary, the Catholic Church, you know about that here in Dubuque, right? And also the Hungarian Reformed, which is Calvinist, okay? I have studied a lot about Calvinism and from my old preacher friend that taught in the Bible Institute, but God gave me a really good answer. I know there are a lot of Baptist preachers going towards Calvinism and you know, there's a lot of good ideas, and it's a very intellectual type religion. Sometimes we can be too simple with the Bible. You know, it's kind of what they say. I'm praise the Lord, I don't have a doctor's degree. I had one guy call me Dr. Pranger, and I'm like, you know, I don't use the D word very often. I'm not talking about doctor. I said, dude, I'm not a doctor. You know, it's like, I am not a doctor. But I said, here's my answer that God gave me, okay? Whenever there's somebody a Baptist that's talking, you know, complimentary about Calvinism, I'll say, you do know that Martin Luther and John Calvin killed the believers that disagreed with them. And the main disagreement at that time was infant baptism. You see, Luther and Calvin both came out of the Catholic Church, but not far enough. Yeah, they did a lot of good stuff. I mean, the Protestant Reformation, bringing a free salvation, justification by faith, they brought out a lot of good points, but they didn't go far enough away. They both baptized babies. I'm sorry. Infant baptism's not in the Bible. I was baptized as a baby. Boy. My dad was Catholic, my mom was Lutheran. I got baptized in the Catholic Church as a baby. So I know what I'm talking about. When I got saved in Jacksonville, Florida at age 21, right after the man dealt with me at the altar about salvation, I prayed and accepted the Lord. He took me right to Matthew 28, teaching, go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Gave me a short Bible study on baptism. I went up right up here, changed my clothes, went right in the baptistry, and got baptized 44 years ago this month. Praise God. And they start asking other questions. And I'll go, excuse me a minute. You do know that Martin Luther and John Calvin both killed the believers that disagreed with them. I don't budge from that point because I don't need to. And I had one guy who was really starting to get irritated with me. And I said, you're not going to kill me, are you? I wasn't angry. I wasn't getting excited. I was just like, you're not going to kill me, are you? That's what John Calvin would do. If I disagree with you, infant baptism is from hell. I bought a book in Russia. Wonderful, wonderful book. Zakon Bozhi. Wow, doesn't that sound important? The Law of God. It was so important. I carried it with me in my backpack. And I had it underlined with a yellow marker about baptism. Baptism washes away our sin. Therefore, we baptize our children upon their birth so that they can wash away that original sin and be part of God's church. And I show them 1 Peter 3 where it says, baptism does not put away the filth of the flesh. And I put them together like this and I say, we got a problem. And then I'll say, we don't have a problem. You have a problem because I don't believe the law of God. I believe the Bible. And when they would ask me, what's the difference between your faith and mine and ours? I said, it's very simple, the Bible. We believe it and you don't. And they say, we believe the Bible. I said, well, why does your priest teach about baptizing the babies? It's all about money. It's all about money. And I've told them, I said, if you can find where they baptize babies in the New Testament, I'll give you $100. Man, their eyes get real big, you know. And I'll say, now before you go looking, let me tell you, I've actually written the whole Bible out by hand. And they're looking at my Bible, you know, and you wrote the whole Bible. I wrote the whole Bible out by hand. The whole Bible. And then they kind of look around a little bit shyly, you know. It's not in there, is it? I said, no, it's not in there. That's when they say, why does our priest baptize babies? And I go, maybe you should ask him. It's all about money. But anyhow, last February, well, let's go back to January. I was challenging the men in our church and some of the other men that used to come to our Bible Institute. But they haven't been to our Bible Institute since COVID started 2 years ago. And I said, you know, COVID's over. You can come on Monday nights if you want to come for our Bible Institute. And they said, well, we're working, we're kind of tired, you know, and had some excuses. And I said, you know, I really miss our Monday night fellowship time. I really miss, I learned a lot from you guys. But if you don't want to come, that's okay. But I said, but God might find something else for me to do. And you're going to be left out. You say, did you really say that? Yeah, I said that. Yeah. And you know what happened a month later? I got an email from Brother Ron, who was flying from Chicago to Kiev, February 24th, when the war started in Ukraine. That flight got canceled. He had a group, nine guys. They ended up flying to Istanbul, Turkey. And at Istanbul, Turkey, Ron wanted to get to Poland, go to Ukraine, and it turned out that it was going to be 3 days before the next flight. That whole group went back to Chicago, except Ron. Ron was sitting there by himself with nine suitcases full of literature, John and Romans, and gear for the military. And he went up to the lady after everybody had left. He'd sat there a while. And he said, ma'am, don't you have anything closer that I could go to sooner? She said, yeah, there's a flight to Budapest in the morning, Saturday morning. I got a text from Ron Friday night. He said, hey, I'm flying into Budapest in the morning. Can you come and get me at the airport? Do you have a place I can stay? And I said, yes, you can stay with us. And then he said, pray for me. I'm trying to get into Ukraine. And I wrote back and I said, amen, I'm in. He goes, what do you mean you're in? I said, I'm in and I'll go as far as God lets us. So long story short, he came into Budapest Saturday morning and we went to all the military stores we could before 2 o'clock because they close at 2 o'clock. On Saturday, and 6 o'clock in the morning, Ron and I are driving to the Ukrainian border in my van, and praise God, they let us in. We met a bunch of, we went in about, from the border, about 45 minutes, and we met some of the military people. We went on the base where they were at. Ron met some people. And he got to pass out a bunch of gear, a bunch of gospels. And I was out on the street passing out literature while he was talking to all these guys. A lot of them knew who he was because of his work already on the front. And the amazing thing that night we were at the hotel. Ron has a Ukrainian chaplain named Vlad, who also met him and was helping him, and then an assistant, Dima was also helping. And by the way, Dima was asking about a place for his family and his sister's family. They ended up coming to Budapest and staying with us for 3 months. So we had two Ukrainian families staying with us for the 3 months. All this was going on. I'll talk more about that in the next hour. But Ron and I, we were staying in a hotel next to the train station. That night, we were outside about 8:30. Not quite dark yet. We saw police blocking the road down by the train station. We saw a bunch of military trucks. We went down to the train station just to see what was going on. And they were loading up on the train, getting ready to go to the front. Bunch of army guys. The police said, no, no, you can't go up there. You can't go up there. Can't go up there. Back off. Back off. Okay. A couple officers, army officers standing there. And the one guy comes over and he looks at Ron. He goes, hey, I remember you. Ron had a green shirt on, had a great big logo on it, said, God loves Ukraine, had a Bible verse on there. And he said, yeah, you gave out a bunch of those shirts last summer to our guys on the front. He said, what do you need? Ron said, we got a whole bunch of boxes here. Gospel bags, he called them. Plastic bags had an apple, orange, great big chocolate bar with whole nuts in it for protein, tactical gloves, and the Gospel of John and Romans and a bunch of tracts. And that officer said, whatever you need, we'll help you. He said, I would just like 5 or 10 minutes to give these out to the guys and thank them for their service. And long story short, we had church right there at the train station. Ron preached about 10, 15 minutes. He prayed. He gave them a great big American flag. They got their Ukrainian flag out. They stretched them both out. We all got our pictures taken with all these guys in the background. And I'm not telling you, folks, it's only just beginning. That was our first trip in. And I've made 25 trips into Ukraine altogether so far. And we'll talk about that more in a second hour.